takes us about a month, a chapter so far. Maybe we'll speed up a little bit. Tonight we're going to talk about the woman at the well. And I always thought this was a good story. There's a lot in this that we're going to cover. And Jerry said I need to have a little hellfire and brimstone tonight so he can stay awake. Anybody need some hellfire? And you're going to hell! How's that? I stirred up a stink on Facebook today. Anybody see that? I reposted something that I believe it's possible to be committed to the church without being committed to Jesus. But a person cannot be committed to Jesus without being committed to the church. I believe that with all my heart. Boy, I got jumped on. So somebody felt guilty, probably. Anyway, so maybe I won't be too controversial tonight. Okay, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples. I wonder why Jesus didn't baptize. You ever thought about that? You know, Paul didn't do a lot of baptizing. You know, there are certain groups that put such an emphasis on baptism that it, in fact, there are several groups. I'm not just talking about Nancy's former church, but I'm talking about lots of, you know, there are several different churches that believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And is that one of the reasons that Jesus didn't really baptize? Is that one of the reasons that Paul didn't really baptize? Although they preached being baptized, but it wasn't something that they did themselves. So, I mean, it could be. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But although baptism is an important thing, it's not an essential thing. It's not essential for salvation, but it is essential for obedience. But Jesus, he didn't baptize. And he had his disciples do that. I just thought that was a good passing thought. Verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Now, I'm intrigued by that statement right there. King James says he must needs go through Samaria. I believe personally that this is that's put there so that we know that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to reiterate, we do not believe that Jesus, when he was in his earth body, that he operated as God, in that he was omniscient, all-knowing. We know that he was not omnipresent. He was not omnipotent. He didn't have all power. But he operated as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go back and look at his baptism, he didn't do any miracles until after he was baptized. And immediately after he was baptized, remember we studied it, that his first miracle was turning water into wine. But before that, he didn't do any miracles. He didn't do them. And because he was not anointed by the Holy Spirit to do that, and he did not draw on his God power or his God knowledge or any of that when he was in his earth suit. He operated just like a man. Otherwise, how could he be our example? If he operated as God, although he was God, now, how much God was he? Was he half God, half man? No. He's all God and all man, but he didn't draw on his God part. He didn't use that as an advantage that we wouldn't have. But he was led by the Holy Spirit. He had to grow in wisdom. And if he was God and operating as God, you cannot grow in wisdom if you have all wisdom. It's just not possible. Let me ask you this question. Does God grow? Does God increase? The answer is no. God has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He has all power. And what blows my mind is that even though that the universe is expanding at the speed of light, God is already complete. And it will never outgrow God. Now, how big is our God? We'll talk about that sometime. How big is our God? It's unfathomable. Unfathomable. It just is. But he must needs go through Samaria. So he was drawn by the Holy Spirit to go through this town. The Holy Spirit knew that there was going to be a particular lady in a particular town in Samaria at a particular well that was going to be open to what he was going to say to her. And the Holy Spirit drew him to that particular place. And I think that is shown here in this verse. So he came to a city of Samaria. Now, Samaria was a country. We could say he must needs go through Arkansas, but he needed to stop in Pfeiffer. Okay? So he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. The interesting word, this means a couple different things in the Greek. It means drunkenness and it means falsehood. And Sychar was close to the mountain Gerizim, which was a mountain that the Samaritans worshipped on, and it was based on a falsehood. And so Jesus is going to deal with that. Okay, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. So this kind of tells us where it's at. I mean, we could find it on the map, okay? Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey. Well, now, if he was operating fully as God, could he get tired? Does God get tired? Bible says that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Aren't you glad? Jerry, aren't you glad? God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He told me to preach a little hellfire. You're going to hell! Okay, here we go. Being wearied from his journey, he sat thus by the well. You know why he sat? He sat there for two reasons. Number one, he was tired. And number two, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now, I think there's a point that we need to make here. I think we as Christ followers need to be more aware about our steps. Because I think that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us in our daily, mundane walk of life to be in particular places at particular times, because there's going to be people there that we can touch. Jason, it might be a hitchhiker going down the road. It may be a person at McDonald's that needs an encouraging word. It may be a person at Walmart. Boy, the Spirit has to really speak to me to go there. It may be a person at Walmart or Kroger's or somebody that comes into your place of business but a lot of times what seems like circumstances to us, many times it's the Holy Spirit trying to direct our path. And listen, if you're drawn to do something, you ought to do it. Now, have anybody ever missed an opportunity? I have. I've missed a bunch of opportunities. And I thought, I just feel like I need to do this, and I don't do it. And I found out later why I needed to do that. I missed an opportunity. So, and let me say this too. And I run into this sometimes. Sometimes when you don't want to do something, but you feel like you need to, but you really don't want to do that, that's when you really need to do that. I'm a hospice chaplain, and sometimes I really dread going to those places. And every time that I dread going somewhere, and I go anyway, it is usually a God moment. something takes place that I'm able to speak into somebody's life or minister hope or strength or comfort to somebody. It almost every time it works that way. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's the devil coming at you, if that's your flesh that just pushes against that. But I think sometimes there's a conflict that goes on between your spirit that's being directed by the Holy Spirit and your natural inclination. God leads you to do things sometimes that you don't want to do. He leads you many times to do things that you're not comfortable doing. Now, why does he do that? Because our growth many times comes out of our discomfort. And one of the reasons that so many Christians do not grow is because they will not get out of their comfort zones. They just refuse to obey and get out of their comfort zones. And we need to be willing to do that. Jesus was tired. He didn't feel like spending time with this woman, but the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And we need to be willing to be open anytime, wherever we are, to what the Lord wants to do. Okay. Verse 7. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, she thought that's why she was coming. She didn't know that she's fixing to have a God moment. That she's fixing to run right into the face of destiny. Two things happening, okay? The Holy Spirit knew that she would be coming there to draw water, and he leads Jesus on a rendezvous to meet that woman at that well for a particular reason. Now, probably, we don't know this, but probably the Holy Spirit had been working on her heart. We don't know what was going on in her life. We know that she was messed up. Why do we know that she's messed up? She'd been married 5 times. If you've been married, maybe I shouldn't say this. I mean, I don't know anybody. I don't know. You don't have to tell me. But if you've been married 5 times, something's wrong. You know, if Nancy has a problem with Jerry, and Nancy has a problem with Jim, and Nancy has a problem with Wes, and Nancy has a problem with, you know, with James, Nancy might have a problem. I mean, doesn't that just stand to reason? I believe you're going to stay awake tonight, Jerry. So this girl is probably messed up, wouldn't you say? And not only has she been married 5 times, she has been so discouraged about that now she's with a man and she's living with him out of wedlock, which the Bible forbids. So she has lost hope in marriage. She has I would dare say that she has a relationship problem. That she has this need to have men in her life, okay? And she does not know how to relate to men. So she has a problem, okay? Today we would say she needs therapy, okay? And she probably does, and she's fixing to get some supernatural therapy, okay? So here she is. We don't know what her heart was like, but one thing that we do know, God loved her. And God had a plan for her life. And you know, and that's the wonderful thing. It don't matter how goofed up you are. It don't matter if you've been married 10 times and lived with 20 men, or been married 10 times and lived with 20 women. God still has a plan for your life. You can't be so messed up that God's plan goes away. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen? That's such a wonderful thing. And we see that here because, I mean, that's pretty extreme. Her relationship situation is just pretty extreme. Okay. So the woman of Samaria. Now, Samaritans were half Jews. We would call them mixed breeds today. They were not looked upon favorably by Jews. In fact, Jews had very little to do with Samaritans. We have the same situation in our society today. It's less and less like that. But when you see intermarriage between races or different sects or some kind of different thing, sometimes we see a lot of prejudice. So this woman not only was messed up in her relationship with people, she was also considered by part of her own race as a despised person. Okay? So she probably didn't have a whole lot of self-esteem. But she came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, he stepped outside of his own, I don't think he had any, but he stepped outside of a perceived prejudice. And he said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. It's probably a good thing that the disciples were not there, because they would have messed it up. Again, situations and circumstances being orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, he did not answer her question. He kind of, I think he had a moment where he had insight, okay? Because I think the Holy Spirit's guiding him. Not only is he guiding his steps, he's guiding his insight and he's guiding his conversations. I think Jesus had a word of knowledge. It's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He had insight into what he was supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you, I've had the word of knowledge operate. Sometimes it's something that I'm conscious of, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we say things that connect with people, and we don't even know that they connect, and it's just like the Holy Spirit orchestrating the thing. But there's sometimes you say things to people that you know that you know that you know that the Holy Spirit is giving you insight into that. Now, which one of these was Jesus, I don't really know. I got a feeling he had insight, because he went right to the chase, because he dealt with thirst, and evidently she had a thirst in her heart that was not being satisfied by what? She's a Samaritan. She's a half-breed. She has not found satisfaction in marriage and has chosen to live outside of wedlock. So she has a thirsty soul, okay? And Jesus put his finger on the problem by using a natural thing to come into a spiritual connection. And, you know, Jesus was a master at this. But this is something that if we're smart and we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll do the same thing with us, that we can find a point of connectivity to the people that we're ministering to. Now, some of this can come by experience, and some of it comes by the Holy Spirit. One thing that I've noticed, that usually when you're having conversations with people, they're not really interested in what you're interested in. So when you talk about what you're interested in, you don't make a connection. But when you talk about what they're interested in, then you'll make a connection with them. We had a fella in our family one time. He's no longer in our family. And he talked. He never shut up. And he talked about nothing. He talked about everything. Nobody was interested in what he talked about. He just talked. Have you ever been around anybody like that? Don't look around. Have you ever known anybody like that? That just, that's the way he was. People avoided him because they didn't want to get caught in a conversation with him because he talked all the time about random stuff. And his wife finally got tired of it and they split up. Anyway, so if you want to make connections with people, this is just practical stuff. Find out what that person is interested in and talk about that. You say, well, what if I'm not interested in it? What does that matter? If I'm going to talk to Bill Burdine, I'm going to talk about horses. See, I know I've learned what to talk about. If I'm going to talk to Wes, I'm going to talk about Paige. No, the Razorbacks. The Razorbacks. You find out if I'm going to talk to Joe Huss, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears and the Chicago Cubs that are after Albert Pujols right now. See, you find out what people are interested in, and that's what you talk about. You'll find a connection point, and then the Holy Spirit can get involved in it, and you'll see things where they'll start opening up to you, and you can start ministering to them. Jesus talked about something that was because there was a deficit in her heart. She was thirsty, but she didn't know what she was thirsty for, and he asked her for a drink of water. And then she says, oh, how come you're a Jew? And she tried to draw him into this prejudiced conversation. Why would you even talk to me? She, you know, all of this, woe is me, I'm nothing. And he didn't even respond to that. He just said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That, first of all, that shut her up. She didn't know how to respond to that. Did she respond correctly? No. She responded naturally. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Ah. She opened up. She asked a question. And then she referenced living water. Now, what is he going to do? He's going to move forward in the conversation. He is leading her along. The Holy Spirit is orchestrating this whole thing. Okay? He didn't say, get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your heart. No, he's conversating with her. He is conversing with her. And he is saying things to her that's drawing her out and opening her up. Now, there are things that you can say to people that'll shut them down. See, if he would have said, woman, you're an adulteress, would that open her up? Nope. That would have shut her down. Now, he's going to deal with this a little bit in a minute, but first of all, he opens her up and brings her hope. And unless we're willing to bring people hope, we're never going to be able to minister to them. Because there's a lot of goofed up people in this world. Such were some of you. Such are some of us. Can I say it that way? In fact, we all got areas of our lives that were goofed up. And God hadn't quit on us yet. Aren't you glad? Anybody glad? Okay. All right. So he's drawing her along. She goes on. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? She is falling right into this thing that the Holy Spirit is laying out. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He points at the well. Whoever drinks of this water, he's fixing to make a distinction, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now he makes a distinction. He's drawing her out. He is explaining some things to her. She is going to open up more. Because now he is touching not on the area of her physical thirst. He is beginning to touch on the area of her spiritual thirst. He's given her hope. And he says, if you understood who I am, you would ask of me, and I'll give you water where you'll never thirst again. It's good. Okay? Verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Okay. Now then, he's going to put his finger on something that's part of the problem. What's part of the problem? In her case, it's her need to have a relationship with a man above her relationship with God. This is an area where Satan has just ripped her apart with this. See, we could look at that woman and say, why? You know, she's no good. She's an adulteress, been married 5 times and she's shacking up. Oh. Why don't we look at the heart and see the torment of her soul? See, honestly, I believe that when people are messed up, they know it. And sometimes they're trapped. And the very thing that they want to get out of, they keep falling back into because that's the only thing that they know and the only thing that they're comfortable with. And if all we do is jump on them and condemn them, they'll shut down because they have already been rejected enough. How many times has this woman been rejected? At least 5 times. She's probably fearful of this relationship. She has been shut down by the Jews because of her. She's a half-breed, quote unquote. So she's got a lot of hurt in her life. And one of the problems I think that churches have had is that we don't look past the sin to see the hurt. And therefore we can't be life-giving. Now, does God want to heal the hurt? Does there have to be a change in the life? Yes. But it has to come from the inside to the outside. Something has to change in here before it can change out here. And I really think that he's going to go to the crux of the problem. And he's going to raise, and you tell me at what point that he condemns her. Even though she is sinful, living in a sinful relationship, you tell me at what point he condemns her. Now, he doesn't understand. He does not condone this at all. But you're not going to see where he condemns her. Why? She doesn't need another condemnation. If he condemns her, she will be condemned through eternity. And he didn't come to condemn us. He came to give us life. Now, if she continues in this lifestyle, she'll be in trouble. Okay? And he is coming to set her free from this lifestyle. Okay. Let's read on. Sir, give me this water, verse 15, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. He has another word of knowledge. Go call your husband and come here. Then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. He had magnificent insight into her life, supernatural insight. Now, was that insight given to condemn her? No, it was given to draw her out. It was given to set her free. Is she free yet? No. This is good. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Oh, she's insightful, isn't she? Our fathers, now she's getting religious. Isn't it amazing how people will get religious on you? Oh, you're a man of God. I'm religious too. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. She's starting to say to him, okay, now y'all say this is the right place to worship, and we say that this is the right place to worship. So now it's almost like she's throwing him off with a religious question. And sometimes people will do that to you. Well now, you go to church, tell me what you think about once saved, always saved. What do you think about them tongues? All that is a diversion to get them off course. Okay? Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." You know what he's saying is? It's not important where you worship. It's important how you worship. Ah. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now he's extending to her this invitation. He's saying, you know what? Whether it's on the mountain or in Jerusalem or in your bedroom or wherever, it's not where you worship, it's how you worship. And the Father is looking for people that's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth, from the heart. Now you can come to church. Ashley did a good job of leading us in worship tonight, in the worship team. But do you know that it's very possible for you to be in that atmosphere and not worship? I mean, you might have even sung the songs and lifted a hand, but that don't mean that you worshiped. If it was not something that come out of your heart, it wasn't worship. It was just singing. So it's possible to be in the right place where worship is taking place and you not worship. You can worship driving down the road with your radio on. You can worship in the quietness of your bed before you go to sleep or when you wake up in the morning. See, it's not about a prescribed place or even a method. It has to do with spirit and in truth. It has to do with the heart. It has to come out of a relationship with God. And she had an issue in her heart that was blocking a relationship with God. She had exalted a relationship above the place that it needed to be. See, there's only one entity that needs first place in our life, and that's our relationship with God. You can be married, and if that person is between you and God, then your spouse is an idol. You can have children, and if your children are between you and God, your child is an idol. And this was her problem. She had exalted something in her own mind above God. Now, she didn't know a whole lot about God, but you know what? We do that all the time ignorantly, and sometimes we do that. Sometimes we put ourselves above God. We call that selfishness. That becomes an idol. You are a self-worshipper when you do that, and that's wrong. And Jesus was just putting his finger on the thing that stood between her and God. Okay? He says, we're going to have to deal with this. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. She'd heard about Messiah. She had enough of her Jewish upbringing that she had heard about Messiah. That Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now those are huge words. Those are huge words. If that's not true, then Christianity, if that statement is not true, then Christianity is a farce. We're not one of many religions. We're not one of many true religions. We're one way to God through Jesus, who is Messiah. Okay? And he says, I'm the Messiah. I'm he. The one who is talking to you is he. And at this point, his disciples came. Now, he got everything done that he needed to get done. He planted every seed in this woman's heart that he needed to plant in her. And now it was up to her to make a decision. And now his disciples come back. And they marvel that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" They amazingly, Peter kept his mouth shut. Because Peter was always shooting his mouth off. The woman then left her water pot. Now that'll preach right there. I don't care who you are. That'll preach. Why did she leave her water pot? She didn't need it anymore. She found out about the living water. Okay? Something happened at that point that shows that she was receptive. She left her water pot. She left her old lifestyle. She left. She did a turn. This is called repentance. She had a change of mind and a change of heart. The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the women. Are you looking at your Bibles? Who did she say it to? Who does she have problems with? Men. Men. She didn't preach it to the women. She preached it to the men. The very people that she had difficulty with was the people that she addressed. That's a good thing. And she said, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Wow. A transformed life right there. Totally transformed by a chance encounter. No, by a spirit-directed encounter. I wonder how many times that things like that have happened in lives. How many times has God directed people just like that? And how many more times does God want to do that in our lives where we can be that catalyst to bring them to Messiah? And that's what she did. She had an encounter with Messiah, and then she brought people to Messiah. And that's... to me, this is one of the great stories of the New Testament, this story right here. Amen. It's 5 to 8. Did you get anything out of that? Did you learn anything? Did you learn anything? You didn't. Jerry didn't go to sleep? Glory. Hey, you're not going to hell now. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this example in the Word of God. And thank you for giving us insight into this and sharing it with one another. And Lord God, just take this and bless it to our hearts. And Father God, may we be willing to be open, to be led by your Holy Spirit. May we in our hearts invite you to use us like this so that people can come to know Christ. Lord, I just wonder how many people are out there that are hungry, searching, tired of their old lifestyle, but they don't know where to turn. Many of them have been hurt by churches. Help us not to be that kind of church. May we be life-giving. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. See you soon.